Welcome to Marlins Rewind, the Week in Review. This time around, we'll get inside the locker room with a fired-up Jose Fernandez and a focused Marcell Ozuna. We'll take a fresh look at the bullpen and run through the wins from last week. It's a pleasure to have you join us. I'm Boomer Dangle, and here we go. To start, let's examine the first-year Miami manager, Don Mattingly. He's been pushing all the right buttons to this point and certainly has the respect of these Marlins. Miguel Rojas has played for Mattingly in L.A. and now in Miami.
He's so respected in a clubhouse because he's been a winning guy since he was a player. And now, as a coach, he's been showing everybody he can win. He's not going to hold you, don't do anything. That's one of the biggest things of Donnie. Let you be yourself. And this club got a lot of talent, and he knows it. So he's giving us the opportunity to be ourselves and to be the club we can be.
Remember, as Mattingly starts down here, he's still won three straight National League division titles in the last three seasons. Just like in Los Angeles, a month and a half into the regular season for the Marlins, Mattingly's relatability to ballplayers and laid-back, let-the-game-come-to-you approach has largely contributed to the Marlins' success.
I remember when I got in the Dodgers, when I just got called up, and he make it happen, you know? He make everybody get together and trying to get in a good run, like, we was talking about that right before we get hot in San Francisco. We was talking about we got to be ready when we get hot to keep rolling, you know, because when things are not doing any good, you start thinking about, like, how we're going to get out of this. But when things start doing good, you got to get ready to roll.
Well, Mattingly led the Marlins into seven games in 7 days this week, but also enjoyed Thursday off. Saturday's doubleheader added an unusual fold to the schedule as we now really enter the summer stretch. But before that weekend Washington series, Miami finished up its games against Milwaukee. Even with a rate of 12 strikeouts per game, we'd yet to see that typical dominant Jose Fernandez performance before Monday night. In the series opener against the Brewers, that was about all we saw.
Jose ready, pitch number 110 on the night. It's his last pitch of the night because it swung at and missed. Rivera down on strikes. 11 Ks for Jose Fernandez, and he has worked seven innings of four-hit shutout ball.
Jose's best outing yet by a long shot. Fernandez got some run support on that unconventional JT Realmuto home run, which actually got scored as an RBI single after he passed the lead runner. Then Derek Dietrich did round the bases in an unusual way of his own.
Out of the stretch, the 0-1, and Dietrich lines one down the right field line. It's a fair ball, skipping into the corner. Extra base is Dietrich's second hit of the night. He's around second. He wants a triple. The relay throw offline. It hits Derek, rolls toward the Marlins dugout. He's going to score. 3-0 Miami. It'll be a triple and an E4, and the Marlins add a big run. The relay throw from Rivera hit Dietrich, and it just shot over toward the Marlins dugout. No chance for any Brewer to track it down.
The Marlins won the ballgame 4-1, led by Jose's 11 strikeouts. After the game, he told Kyle Seeloff, K's are nice, but it's all about staying in the win column.
You know, before coming here, they had a lot of good games. You know, they had a lot of hard balls. They had a good team, a lot of tough hitters. Just got to try to, you know, try to do a good job and just try to follow the game plan. We came on top tonight, and, you know, that's fun, man. You know, just looking for, I'm happy, very excited about the team winning. That's all I care about tonight. You know, we have a team that's going to go out there, it's going to battle, it's going to give 100%, and that's all we can ask for. I can tell you something, we don't like losing. We don't like losing, and we don't like it at all. So, you know, after the parties that we've been having inside, when we're winning, we don't like losing. We want to get out and party. So 100% into that, and, you know, I love it.
That game looked like vintage Jose Fernandez, but also reminded us of Adam Conley's performance against the Brewers a little more than 2 weeks ago. But this time, the Brewers had his number. Milwaukee has sporadically exploded for big runs at some point this season, and that's what the Marlins saw unfold Tuesday. 10 runs on 12 hits for Milwaukee, a tough night for Conley. The team shook off that game too, though, and finished up a 9-game homestand by continuing its power stroke.
1-2 from Anderson, the pitch. And Bohr swings and drives a ball to right field, back toward the bullpen. It is up and away. A 2-run home run for Justin Bohr, number 5, and a 2-0 Marlins lead. His third home run of this season against the Milwaukee Brewers.
But the deciding run in Wednesday's game came two batters later. After his ground rule double, Marcell Ozuna scored on a sacrifice fly. Ozuna finished the 9 games with 16 hits and 2 home runs, good for a .471 average. Mattingly and Marcell have been working on pitch selection all spring, and the skipper says that's starting to pay dividends.
And he stayed with the program. You know, he stayed in the middle of the field. He showed more patience at the plate. You know, just coincidentally, since he's been taking his walks and getting better pitches to hit, he's hitting a lot better. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us, is that if you're swinging at strikes and you're getting strikes to hit, you got a better chance of being productive. And I think with Hosey's, him staying in the middle of the field, something we've been working on all spring, but as much as anything, him starting to take his walks puts him in a better position to get better pitches to hit.
Marcel agrees and says he's focused on not chasing outside the zone and swinging within his means.
Just trying to swing a good pitch and don't go crazy to swing, and that's helped me a lot. And I'm picking a good pitch to hit, and that's what helped him. Everything on my zone right now in the cage, I'm working on the D really good, and that's helping I made a good at bat.
Since the first week of the season, Marcel is batting .352. He's on a 15-game hitting streak. The Nationals took Friday night in the afternoon contest Saturday. But in Game 3 of the weekend, the nightcap, an unexpected storyline in this game. Since the Nats and the Marlins played a doubleheader, the teams could expand their rosters to 26 players for the day. Miami opted to use prospect Kendry Flores as that call-up and to make the start. But after three innings, a right shoulder strain took Flores out of the game. Something we've been following all season is the use of the bullpen, but Mattingly had no choice. He had to go to Jose Ureña, who only gave up two hits and a run in three innings. He then turned it over to Phelps, Morris, and Ramos. The offense also gave the team plenty more to work with.
A 2.85 ERA. There's one smoked to center. Back goes Revere, looks up at the wall. Goodbye. Up onto the berm above center field. Justin Bour goes deep. It's his sixth of the season. And the Marlins open up a 3-0 lead in the third.
So after losing the first two games against Washington, Miami won Saturday night. And to try for the four-game split on Sunday, Jose came back to the mound. Following his best outing yet, he looked just as sharp this time. Another seven innings, with one earned run on a semi-fluke where Giancarlo and Marcel got tangled up in the outfield. 11 strikeouts, and Jose's fifth win of the season.
That was a big win for the Marlins to come back from losing the first two games against Washington to take the last two. The team continues to play baseball above the .500 level, and Don Mattingly is making sure people pay attention to the Marlins in the competitive NL East. If you missed any part of Glenn Geffner's sit-down with Don Mattingly earlier this week, I would highly recommend that you go back and listen to it. It's on the Marlins podcast page. Here's an excerpt when Geff asked about the veteran leadership on this team.
You can either have really good veterans or veterans that kind of are on the other side of it. And to me, when you see a Martin Prado, professional from the standpoint of has been through some battles and some wars on different teams and been around a little bit, been in different organizations, moved around, but continues to carry himself in a way that's all pro, and then has the veteran inside him that wants to help the other guys, because there's people that helped us all coming up, and Martin, I'm sure, has had some mentors that have helped him, and as a veteran guy, you really want to help the young guys grow and become better players. So between Martin, Jeff Mathis, Ichiro is just a great example for our guys. His work ethic and the way he prepares is so good for a young team. Sometimes on the other side of that, you get veterans that are bitter, don't want to help the young guys, feel like the young guys are going to take playing time away from them. And those are the guys that won't fit on a young team. They may fit on an older team because it works okay. But with the younger team, you don't want veterans that aren't willing to help the young guys.
Again, go back and listen to the entire conversation between Geff and Mattingly. It's on the Marlins podcast page. One last thing to make note of this week. A lot of conversations have taken place about the bullpen, and especially left-handed arms out of the pen. The team started the season with Chris Narvison and Craig Breslow. Neither player now remains. The only left-handed arm is Harlan Garcia, number 3 prospect in the Marlins system. He got called up earlier this week. He's yet to make his MLB debut. The Fisher also waiting on Mike Dunn to complete his rehab, which he discussed.
End of the month, first part of June. I'm hoping to speed it up as these bullpens go. I think I was throwing a little harder than they were anticipating already today, so it feels good.
In just a short while, the Marlins start a new series in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Ballpark. 7:05 is first pitch tonight. Join Kyle Seeloff at 6:35. The Marlins on deck presented by Geico. Philadelphia surprised a lot of people. They come into this 3-game set 1 game ahead of Miami in the loss column. As has been the case all season long, Washington, New York, Philadelphia, and Miami are all jostling for that first-place spot in baseball's best division. After Philadelphia, the Marlins play Washington again. This time, the weekend series takes place at Marlins Park. We'll run through it all here from the clubhouse next time on Marlins Rewind, the Weekend Review. In the meantime, hit subscribe and catch the daily rewind. Listen to Hall of Fame broadcaster Dave Van Horn and Geff on 940 Wins in the Marlins Radio Network.